number two of the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. And a lot of baseball going on. And a couple games just went final, Wes, including my San Francisco Giants avoiding the sweep, hanging on to beat Miami 1-0 today in a pitcher's duel.
Rodgers gets a save. Alex Wood gets the victory with 5 innings in his first start of the year. 4 strikeouts, just 3 hits. So the Giants do avoid the sweep down in Miami. And Tampa Bay gets another win in Yankee Stadium, 4-2. Joey Wendell with an insurance run, home run at the top of the ninth. Springs gets a save for the Rays as they win 4-2. Yankees still struggling to find offense, just 3 hits today on 2 runs.
Yeah, 5 losses in a row for the Pinstripers. They are in the cellar in the American League East. They were, of course, the preseason favorites to win that division. Obviously, a lot of baseball left to go, but not a great start for the New York Yankees. And to beat Gerrit Cole, a big win on the money line for the Tampa Bay Rays today. And for the Rays, Joey Wendell, this guy has become a little bit of a home run hitter, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And last year it was Arozarena that got all the headlines, but Joey Wendell, really one of the more consistent bats in the Rays lineup, and they've been struggling a little bit too, especially with their pitching of the non-Tyler Glasnow variety. They really struggled last week at home against the Rangers, but found a lineup that really can't hit right now, that being the Pinstripers, the New York Yankees.
Yeah, found somebody to pick on indeed. The Arizona Diamondbacks increase their lead in the top of the ninth inning, get an insurance run there over the Washington Nationals. Now 5-2, still batting in the top of the ninth inning there. Of course, Steven Strasburg was scratched from that start today and placed on the injured list. Espino got the start today, but not looking like it's going to work out right now for the Washington Nationals. They'll have one more chance, currently trailing by 3. Also, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers still tied at 3 apiece. It is the top of the 6th inning there in Milwaukee. The Toronto Blue Jays and Kansas City Royals now to the bottom of the 6th inning and still scoreless there. Also scoreless in the 6th inning in Arlington, the Texas Rangers hosting the Baltimore Orioles. But, of course, we have some scoring in Coors Field. The New York Mets out to a 2-0 lead in the top of the 4th inning over Colorado. And Colorado just continues to struggle. Won the second half of that doubleheader on Saturday, but back to their losing ways currently anyway. Top of the 4th inning, Mets out to a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, and looking for more here. They have 2 runners on, top of the 4th, 2 outs really for the Mets, as McCann going to try to drive a couple more in here. But we are going to get started. We've got about 3 baseball games about to get tipped off, basketball. First pitch about to go off.
Yeah, drop the puck, tipped off, first pitch.
Starting, basically, yes.
Games are going to start pretty soon. And one of them will be the Tigers at the Athletics, just about to go to first pitch now. Oakland has won 7 in a row, and now a game above 500 at 8-7. The Tigers have lost 3 straight. They're trying to avoid the sweep at the Oakland Coliseum today, sending Matt Boyd to the hill to face Chris Bassett. A's closed is about a minus 145. Favorite here at BetMGM with a total of 8.5.
Yeah, and Boyd is maybe the best candidate on that pitching staff for Detroit to go ahead and stop this, but the bullpen has absolutely been abused here, really, over the last week, and Oakland's kind of found their stride again. Remember, they started the season 0-6, and Boyd is going to have to go deep in this game because the Tigers' bullpen so far dead last in Major League Baseball in ERA, dead last in xFIP, second to last in walks and hits per innings pitched or whip. So I agreed with the move on Oakland here, and it did see the money, certainly. Bassett has been a little bit of struggle bus here to start the season. He's got 8 walks and 16 and a third, but maybe this is the day to go ahead and get right, because the Tigers, they do hit the ball out of the ballpark, but they don't really do much else, and they'll swing and miss a lot. So maybe this is a get right start for Chris Bassett.
Also just about to get underway, the Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners. You wouldn't have thought that the Seattle Mariners would be on top of the AL West and Houston would be on the bottom, but the Houston Astros were able to snap a 6-game losing skid on Saturday, getting a 1-0 victory over the Mariners. Today it's Jake Odorizzi opposing Nick Markovicius, and Houston moved to a minus 130 favorite here at BetMGM with a total of 9.
Yeah, I'm trying to check the lineup here with some late steam on the Astros, because they have been without some bats in that lineup, and still, I believe, are. They've been without Altuve, without Alex Bregman, without Martin Maldonado, and I believe one other hitter, Jordan Alvarez, not in the lineup today, but certainly got the late steam here at Seattle, which surprised me a little bit. I know Margavicius did struggle in that first start, but could be a rebound. Jake Odorizzi also struggled early on, so I actually leaned a little bit to the under here at under nine. I didn't really get there on the side, but I'm a little surprised the Astros get that late steam.
Yeah, I leaned to the under with you as well in this game. Did not make a play on the side. I did not make a play in the Tigers Athletics game, but I do have a play on the San Diego Padres. This one just about to get underway. Part three of the saga that is the Los Angeles Dodgers against the San Diego Padres. And what entertainment this has been. Really the whole country tuning in, it seems like, to this baseball series, and I believe they have 17 more games between these two teams, including today, and another great pitching matchup today as you have Blake Snell versus Trevor Bauer. The Dodgers went off as a short favorite here, anywhere from minus 125 to minus 130, and 7.5 is your total.
Yeah, remember Blake Snell got pulled against the Dodgers in that sixth inning when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series, so gets another crack at Dodger Blue. You got to think he's at least motivated from that side. Cody Bellinger is now out 6 to 8 weeks with a hairline fracture in his leg, but never mind that the Dodgers are very deep. They can probably do without him. I mean, when you have Justin Turner and Max Muncy and Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, et cetera, they've been hitting. They lead the league in OPS. They lead the league in runs scored. So this is a team that I think if they miss one or two guys, it doesn't really bother them. And of course, Trevor Bauer, very good to start the season here in Los Angeles. He's continued his form over Cincinnati. 2.70 ERA over 20 innings is only high due to the fact that he's given up three long balls, but he's only allowed 7 total hits and 5 total walks in 3 starts. So Bauer certainly on that form again. And you're looking at that price, it's like, oh man, laying 120, 125 on Trevor Bauer, dream come true. But you're on the Padres, and I don't disagree with you here in this spot as we are just underway in Petco Park.
Yeah, looking to avoid the sweep. And sometimes that's a good spot for a team, too, on the final game of a series on a Sunday. Often take that home underdog looking to avoid the sweep there. And about those Dodgers, you ran through some of the players in that lineup there. Yeah, they don't exactly miss Cody Bellinger, certainly at this point of the season anyway. And on the mound, you play a 3-game series like the Padres have with this team, and, oh, you get Walker Buehler, then Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Bauer. Mm-hmm. They're pretty tough on the pitching mound as well.
Yeah, a lot. Nice luxury, too, when you could put a former Cy Young winner in David Price and have him go multiple innings and extra inning relief, and that's exactly what they've done. So, lineup for the Dodgers today, Betts, Seager, Turner, Will Smith, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, A.J. Pollock, Sheldon Neuse, and then, of course, Trevor Bauer on the San Diego side. Profar, Cronenworth, Tatis Jr., Machado, Hosmer, Pham, Mateo, Caratini, Blake Snell on the hill.
This team almost unfairly stacked the L.A. Dodgers, and off to a great start, too, as the defending World Series champs. VGK is underway with the Anaheim Ducks. Just about 4 minutes in, still scoreless. And I know Pauly Howard's been betting VGK on getting a goal in the first 10 minutes. I think they've been on a run where it's been like 10 games in a row. And there you go.
Well, they just got another one. Nice omen there, Brady. As it looks like, I think it was Patch, Max Pacioretty, or trying to see who the goal was. I just looked up and seen the goal being posted on the board. So we'll try to get that score correct for you. It looks like it was, in fact, Max Pacioretty, I believe, because sometimes you get those deflections when you get these goals. So we have 1-0 lead here with VGK very early on in Anaheim.
Looked like a wrist shot from the top of the key there, right through the 5-hole, and the Vegas Golden Knights take a 1-0 lead there just about 4 minutes into the first period. Hopefully, Pauly cashed another ticket on Vegas to score a goal in the first 10 minutes. Sunday Night Baseball will wrap up your Sunday Night Baseball card, and it'll be the Cubs taking on the Atlanta Braves at Wrigley Field. This is a 4:08 Pacific, 7:08 Eastern start. Bryce Wilson to face Kyle Hendricks and the North Sider Chicago. They got nearly half a season's worth of offense on Saturday as they upended the Braves 13-4. Still, they have won just three games out of their last 10. The Braves are three games under 500, but only 2.5 games out of first place in the NL East. The Cubs are favored here, and they've been getting the money up to minus 145 now at BetMGM with a total of 9.
Yeah, I am on the under here. I like the under full game in first five. May get on the Braves, too, if this price gets out of the whack. And you talked about Chicago at the offense yesterday, and we were in here for this very program on Saturday. Chicago had 6 balls out of the yard at Wrigley Field, so not used to seeing that from this offense. It's been very anemic and very much a swing-and-miss offense at the plate. Bryce Wilson going to get his first start of the season for the Atlanta Braves in the marquee game on Sunday Night Baseball. They need him to emerge a little bit right now because Max Fried just got put on the injured list. Still waiting on Mike Soroka, who's been dealing with shoulder inflammation in his return, and he had an Achilles injury, of course, in 2020. Last time we saw Bryce Wilson, though, was in a big spot. National League Championship Series in Game 4, where he had 6 innings pitched, only allowed 1 hit and 1 run and 1 walk on 5 strikeouts, and that's going against Clayton Kershaw on your first playoff start. So Bryce Wilson, if you look at his career numbers, about 5.9 ERA, I think that he's a lot more talented than the numbers. He was drafted in the 4th round in 2016, and this is a guy that has a wide array of pitches that he can get some guys out. The numbers don't bear it out, but I think this is a guy that is due for some good things this season. So Bryce Wilson here is going to make his first start. Hendricks has been the most consistent pitcher for the Cubs, but he doesn't really pitch very hard. I mean, he doesn't throw hard. He's 86 miles an hour on that fastball, but he finds a way to mix his pitches up and really knows how to pitch and gets guys out and has been doing it really so far this year. So I like the under. I think you're going to get 2 pitching performances here. Little surprised to see the Cubs. I think maybe everybody's buying in because they're such a public and obviously a team with a big fan base that they're getting the support here. Slight wind blowing out the center, but I'm not really as worried about that. You've got a good umpire in Estabrook behind the plate, career about 56% to the under, so not really worried about that breeze. I do like the under. I may get involved with the Braves, too, if this number keeps going up, because I think that price is about to start to get a little out of whack here.
Yep, I'm absolutely with you on the Braves. I don't really have a good feeling for the total here. I do like your point that you expect a good pitching performance out of both of these guys. We will see. Sunday Night Baseball has been so entertaining so far to kick off the season. You remember the opener.
Yes.
But it's been really on a roll with Matt Vaxcursion and the boys, a friend of the network here at VSiN. We wish them another exciting game tonight. Right now, the Washington Nationals down to their final at-bats here as they trail the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-2 in the bottom of the 9th inning. Basketball, it is a final. The Knicks beat the New Orleans Pelicans in overtime, and the Miami Heat right now leading the Brooklyn Nets 42-35. You've got about 7.5 minutes left in the second quarter in Miami. The Heat trying to snap a 3-game losing streak, and it'll help by the fact that Kevin Durant has left this game. He will not return with a left thigh contusion.
And going back to that early game where the Knicks got the win in overtime, that is 9 straight covers for the New York Knicks.
Wow.
And 6 straight outright wins. So nice win over a Pelicans team trying to get into those play-in spots in the Western Conference. And we do have one more baseball game that is a doubleheader. It's going to go little less than an hour from now, double dip in Fenway. White Sox won the first game. It'll be Michael Kopech getting the start for the Chicago White Sox. First start since September 5th of 2018. Recall that Kopech had the Tommy John surgery in the fall of 2018, missed 2019, also opted out last year due to COVID-19 for the 2020 abbreviated season. So getting his first start against Martin Perez, the lefty on the hill for Boston. Boston getting a little bit of the money, but pretty much an even straddle. I'm seeing basically 105 each side in the market.
Yeah, I would lean a little bit with Boston on the fact that Kopech hasn't been around in quite a while.
Yeah, go against a guy first start off the DL. The DL's been about 2 or about 3 years. years or 2.5 years at least.
The DLL, designated long list. And Boston also, of course, losing the front end of the doubleheader. Kind of like to back that team to split the doubleheader there in the nightcap. The New York Rangers now out to a 3-0 lead in their contest with the New Jersey Devils. Still 11.5 minutes left in the second period there in New Jersey. And the Buffalo Sabres, as big underdogs at home today, now out to a 2-0 lead over the Pittsburgh Penguins. 8.5 minutes left there in the second period there. And just when you thought that Anaheim Ducks Vegas Golden Knights game might stay under the total, it's now tied at 1 apiece, Wes. 13.5 minutes left there down at the pond in Anaheim. Vegas struck first with Max Pacioretty getting on the lighting the lamp for Vegas, but now the Anaheim Ducks counter with a goal of their own. They are tied again at 1 apiece. Still 13.5 minutes left there in the first period in Anaheim. And back to the golf, still a 4-stroke advantage for Stewart Cink at the RBC Heritage. Emiliano Grillo is the next closest competitor, 4 shots back at 15 under par. Grillo 3 under on his round through 10 holes. And my guy Corey Connors trying to make a move, still 6 shots back. He's 3 under through 13 holes, West. And Chris Kirk was another guy I had on my card this week, but he is 7 shots back at 12 under par. Did you get any top 10 finishes? Are you going to get anybody in the cash column there with some good finishes other than the winner?
Don't look likely unless Christian Bezuidenhout can get in the clubhouse. He's currently 1 under, 10 under par overall. He's tied for 13th, so he might be my only pony here. We made our money at least on the European side this week. Not so good at the RBC Heritage, but so far so good for Stewart Cink. Now starting the back nine, 4-shot leader.
Yeah, I would say you're doing okay. You got a winner early this morning with John Catlin winning the Austrian Open in a playoff. Hour number 2 underway here inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. We'll come back right away. Keep it here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. And Wes, let's start in the association. The Brooklyn Nets were trailing just a moment ago to the Miami Heat. No KD. He started the game, but he has left the game with a left thigh contusion. So we'll see how long KD is on the shelf again for the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving did get the start today. James Harden still on the shelf for Brooklyn, but right now tied at 44 apiece. 6 minutes left in the second quarter. And as far as the live line, the Miami Heat are 1.5-point underdogs right now at BetMGM, and your total at 225.5.
Yeah, it's Landry Shamet off the bench carrying Brooklyn right now. 6 of 8 has hit 3 long balls, 15 points, leading all scorers for the Nets. Goran Dragic off the bench with 11 points for Miami, all tied at 44 midway through the second quarter.
And on the ice, the New York Rangers continue their push towards trying to make a playoff spot in the Eastern Division. Right now leading the New Jersey Devils 3-0. They doubled up New Jersey on Saturday 6-3, trying to turn the trick again today with under 10 minutes left to go in the second period. 3-0 Rangers. They are minus 10,000 on the money line right now. And if you want to lay 3.5 goals with New York, you can get a minus 125 price. The total currently at 5.5. Still about half of this hockey contest left to go. The Pittsburgh Penguins went off as about minus 250 favorites here in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. They beat the Sabres on Saturday 3-2, and that was a pretty tight game. Pittsburgh got out to an early lead, but Buffalo really never went away. And right now, the Sabres have picked up where they left off, out to a 2-0 lead over the Penguins. Their first shot in the first period was a goal. Their first shot in the second period was a goal, and that's enough for a 2-0 lead right now over Pittsburgh, Wes, with about 5 minutes left in the second period.
Yeah, the East Division is getting tight. Washington, of course, lost today to Boston. Boston. So Boston now at 56 points. Washington still leads at 62. Opportunity for Pittsburgh here. But look, these games, even against these bad teams, not always easy this time of year in the NHL. A lot of these guys at least don't quit. I think Buffalo knows that they're pretty much about to go fishing the rest of the season. They're not going to make
ice
the playoffs.
Fishing.
Yes, ice fishing. not the gone fishing like we see on the NBA telecast, but what you see, Buffalo did knock off Washington the other night, and that's why I was a little lukewarm about laying Pittsburgh necessarily on the road. Pittsburgh, 59 points. Islanders, 58. They'll have a matchup with Philadelphia later on tonight. Boston now at 56. So that East starting to get compressed as Boston's starting to win, and this would be a tough one for the Penguins, a drop against the last place Buffalo Sabres, who are already officially eliminated from the playoffs. I believe they are the only one. I mean, there are other teams that aren't going to make it, but they are the only one officially eliminated from the playoffs are the Buffalo Sabres.
Are they? Wow.
Yes.
Well, good outing there in the bottom half of the first inning for Trevor Bauer at Petco Park as he remains scoreless there in this game between the Dodgers and the Padres. Fernando Tatis just missed one, tattooed one quite high in the sky, but a relatively short fly ball as he just got under it a hair there. Still scoreless Padres and Dodgers. They'll head to the top of the second inning. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Anaheim Ducks tied at one apiece, Wes. It was Pacioretty getting on the board for the Vegas Golden Knights early in this contest, and then Anaheim answered back. Now tied at one apiece, under 8 minutes left to go in the first period. Vegas back to where they started, went off as a minus 250 road favorite, and that's where we are on the live line here at BetMGM.
Yeah, and one more baseball score I do want to update, too, that just went final. Arizona 5, Washington 2. Is your final score. I believe Mad Bum gets the decision going five innings.
Should.
So he does get the win here, and a much needed one for Mad Bum. The ERA was over 11, now goes down to 8.68. So at least gets a little bit of a rebound here, because we were obviously all starting to wonder. We know Father Time catches up with everybody, but it's like, does he have anything left? Well, he had something left today, at least 5 strikeouts and 5 innings, gave up the 1 solo shot, but D-backs get the win 5-2 in the nation's capital.
Yeah, in his last start, it was his first start at home, and I thought that might be the spot for him. I believe they were a possible underdog in that game, if I recall. He had 2 bad outings. One, I want to say, against the Mariners, and then the opener, the season opener against the Padres, he got roughed up as well. Might have been, actually, it was Colorado. Got roughed up against San Diego, and then roughed up at Coors Field. Kind of give him a pass for that. And I thought when he returned home, it would be a good spot for him. He didn't do well in that one either. Took him the 4th turnaround in the pitching rotation to get the W. Mad Bum gets it done as the Arizona Diamondbacks top the Washington Nationals 5-2 in that one. The Miami Heat back out on top of the Brooklyn Nets, 55-53. 3 minutes left to go there before halftime in South Beach. We'll come back and continue here on the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. And the best place to start is VSiN.com. We're covering baseball, the NHL and NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you a betting edge. And while you're there, get all the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory. And you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com, and while you're there, check out our subscription options starting as low as $22 per month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. Checking the golf real quick, Wes. Stewart Cink out to a minus 1,200 favorite in the in-game wagering at BetMGM, as he is currently hanging on to a 4-stroke advantage. He is through 11 holes, so 6 holes left to play, 7 holes right rather, left to play, and he leads Emiliano Grillo by 4 shots, sink at 19 under par, just 1 under on his round, but so far that is good enough to keep Grillo at bay. Right behind Grillo is Harold Varner at 14 under par, Maverick McNealy at 13, and then my guy Corey Connors at minus 13, followed by my other guy Chris Kirk, who shot a 4 under par 67, but that is going to come up short as he finishes the tournament at 12 under par.
And the man from Argentina, Emiliano Grillo, just bogeyed, so now a 5-shot lead for Stewart Cink with about 7 holes to play. Grillo, McNealy, a very good putter down at 13 under, but this leaderboard, a lot of shaky putters. Grillo,
yeah.
Corey Connors, Harold Varner,
boy.
Also Colin.
Murderer's Row with the flat stick there.
Also,
huh?
Colin Morikawa, who's lost almost 3 strokes in a short game today. So saw a tweet that I just saw from somebody I follow in the golf world saying Colin Morikawa couldn't putt it into a bucket today. And so far, no good for Colin Morikawa. Stewart Cink, who is in the final pairing with Morikawa, leading by 5 shots now, is just a nice Sunday stroll for the 47-year-old Stewart Cink.
Yeah, and at BetMGM, with that Emiliano Grillo bogey, Cink now moves from minus 1,200 to minus 5,000 in the live line. Your second choice is indeed Grillo, who is at 25-1 to come back and win the RBC Heritage. Looks like Stewart Cink will be slipping on his third tartan plaid jacket there at Harbortown. Let's get to the NFL draft. We've been covering all the baseball games, all the basketball games, the hockey games, everything going on in progress. But just about 11 and a half days from now, they will be going through the first round of the NFL draft. And of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. We expect them to take Trevor Lawrence. We expect the New York Jets to take Zach Wilson out of BYU. And everybody's talking about this third selection is where the draft really starts. Our own Michael Lombardi really steadfast on the fact that it is going to be Mac Jones out of Alabama, but the betting public is contrary to that. They have really steamed Justin Fields out of Ohio State. He is now minus 140 to go to the San Francisco 49ers in the 3-hole.
And I will say, Brady, I don't mind that. I like the fact that on this platform here on VSiN that we have some disagreement.
Sure.
If everybody agrees all the time, then we don't learn anything in terms of the betting market. So it's good to have different opinions, but right now, Michael Lombardi is contrary, I guess, to the betting move so far. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be on the wrong side. We do not know, because that's one of the fun things about the draft is people lie and people put information out there, agents and GMs, and they can use certain reporters, certain NFL insiders to get a message out there. And look, guys got to report the news. That's a competitive beat in the NFL covering this with amongst all the networks. So you do get some mystery put out there in terms of the market. So I do kind of lean to the fact that I think Fields is going to go number 3, and then where Mac Jones and Trey Lance end up, kind of the 2 men out of that top 3, who knows, and who knows where we're going to get trades, if we're going to get it maybe around 6 or 7 or 8 in the first round. I don't think Atlanta, I mean, maybe somebody will trade up to number 4 for Atlanta, but I don't know if when you got number 5 and number 6, definitely not taking quarterback. That being Cincinnati, they're not going to take anybody considering they have Joe Burrow. You wouldn't think Miami would do it with Tua now just in his second year. And also Detroit, they just traded for Jared Goff and they're at number 7. They might be the first real trade down candidate, because I don't think teams are going to feel necessary to trade up to number 4 with Atlanta. So you may end up, Atlanta, I think, would like to trade out the pick and get some additional assets, especially on defense, and some more picks, but they may be stuck there. And that's one of the reasons I definitely followed along on the under 5.5 for Kyle Pitts in terms of draft position, because I think if Atlanta can't trade that out, they're going to take the best guy available, and I think that's Pitts.
The Dodgers are out to a 2-0 lead, knocking Blake Snell around a little bit here in the top of the second inning. He just strikes out A.J. Pollock for the second out. But right now, the Dodgers early out to a 2-0 lead at Petco Park. And back to the NFL draft and Kyle Pitts. Yeah, I kind of like actually higher than the draft position of 5.5. And I think you make a great point. If Atlanta's in position where they're just going to go best player available, then it's going to cash for under 5.5 for sure. He probably goes in that spot. But I think there's so many other factors here for Atlanta. You talked about them trading that pick. I think ultimately that is what will happen. If the 49ers, if Michael Lombardi's right and the 49ers do take Mac Jones, then somebody is absolutely probably going to trade with Atlanta to grab Justin Fields.
That's the thing here, because I think if Fields does go number three, I don't think somebody's going up to four to get Jones.
I think they may be, or Lance.
I think for Fields, they may do that. But for Jones and Lance, they got to think, okay, they're going to slip and maybe we're going to be there. Or maybe if we're outside looking in right now in those picks, we're going to be calling Detroit to go to number seven. Because you got to think at number five, the Bengals are going to take a receiver like Chase, or they're going to take Penny Sewell or maybe Rashawn Slater on the offensive line. And then you got that sixth pick with Miami. They're not taking quarterback. They probably want some kind of receiver, or maybe they elect to go with the other offensive lineman if somebody goes off the board to number five with Cincinnati. So really, if there's no trade with Atlanta, that first trade possibility, I think, is Detroit, who needs a lot of help in different ways, and they need some receivers as well.
The other reason I don't think Pitts will fall at number four to Atlanta is because I think Atlanta would be, you know, again, if they're in position where they're just going to draft the best player available, okay. But I think if they're going to more so address the needs of their team, I think it could be used on defense or the offensive line.
I mean, maybe they go with the lineman, or I think Parsons is kind of dripping down the board. So I don't know if there's a defender right there for Atlanta to take unless they trade down.
That's why the trade makes so much sense, right?
Yeah, you would think so. And Cincinnati could take Pitts at number five, too. They need another weapon for Joe Burrow.
Gotta protect that guy.
But they also need offensive line. So you can't address all your needs in one pick. So we shall see what they'll do down the board.
Stewart Cink now minus 2,500 to win the RBC Heritage. So ticking down just a bit. Emiliano Grillo now at 20-1. We'll check the leaderboard to see if Grillo maybe rolled in a putt for a birdie there when we come back. Talking more baseball, basketball, and hockey here as the Green Zone presented by BetMGM rolls along at VSiN. Baseball or hockey with a risk-free bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. It's a new customer offer. Paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Wes Reynolds, we've got the NBA game has gone to the half between the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. And of course, the big story of the first half was that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were both in the starting lineup. Now it's only Kyrie, as Kevin Durant went out with a, what we'll call a Charlie horse as far as layman's terms, and he is not expected to return. So just back into the lineup, now back out of the lineup for the Brooklyn Nets. Miami with the lead by four at the break, 64-60.
And Brooklyn currently at BetMGM for the second half, -2/109 for the second half total. So add that up, 233. Brooklyn basically a 2-point underdog for the game. Kyrie with 14 points. Him and Landry Shamet with 18 off the bench. They've needed that scoring considering they're behind. They are leading the scoring for the Nets. Balance for Miami, none with 11. Goran Dragic 11. Trevor Ariza with 11. And Bam Adebayo with 10. So the Miami Heat currently a 4-point lead at the half. We will see. It's always interesting to see how a team reacts when you get a guy with an injury. It doesn't look like it's long-term serious for Kevin Durant, but does that fire a team up where it's like, okay, we got to step our game up, or does that kind of you know, dampen their spirits a little bit going forward. So it'll be interesting to see what this second half move is going to be. Miami currently in the seventh spot in the NBA playoffs, just a half a game ahead of the eighth spot, that being the Charlotte Hornets. And of course, Brooklyn number two right now, game back of Philadelphia. So minus two for the second half are the Brooklyn Nets, 109 your second half total.
And the NBA will continue its Sunday action in a little over 2 hours from now with 3-4 o'clock starts. We'll see if we can get another preview in on those before the end of the program, see if we can find a betting angle for you on the rest of the NBA card. It wraps up in L.A. tonight with the Clippers hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves, laying double digits is Los Angeles in that one. Over to the ice, the New Jersey Devils have avoided the shutout after two periods in New Jersey. They're on the board now, trailing the New York Rangers 3-1 in this one. The Pittsburgh Penguins and the Buffalo Sabres also at the second intermission in Buffalo, and the Sabres hanging on to a 2-0 lead there. They went off as better than 2-1 underdogs in this contest today. And the Vegas Golden Knights went off as minus 250 road favorites in Anaheim, and it was tied 1-1 for a good portion of the first period. But now we have gone to the first intermission, and Vegas recaptures the lead. Now 2-1 leading the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, one for Pacioretty, one for Petrangelo, 2-1. Fleury and Gibson in between the pipes for the respective teams. And then a couple baseball scores to update. Kansas City did go ahead in the seventh, now 2-0. I believe it was Salvi Perez with the two-run shot. So 2-0 in a pitcher's duel there. And look, just based on what I'm looking at today, if you're betting unders in baseball right now, maybe that first few days wasn't looking too promising, but thus far today, you're doing pretty well. I don't think we've had one game go over the total that's a final right now. That's Cleveland and Cincinnati, Bieber over Miley, 6-3, but seeing a lot of unders, a lot more unders than overs so far in Major League Baseball the last several days.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates break the 3-3 tie with the Milwaukee Brewers, and this one could be headed to over the total. Your in-game line now is 9.5, as it's 5-3 in favor of Pittsburgh over Milwaukee in the bottom of the seventh inning. Milwaukee currently batting, trailing there by 2 runs. The Kansas City Royals over Toronto right now, 2-0 in the top of the eighth inning. Kansas City and Toronto split the doubleheader on Saturday. KC trying to get back to the winning ways in this one here today as they sit atop the AL Central Division. And you mentioned the under. Still no score between between the Baltimore Orioles and the Texas Rangers, Wes, all the way to the eighth inning now with nothing on the board.
Yeah, and Baltimore has been playing pretty solid. Did take a couple from Texas. Baltimore 7-8, Texas 6-9. Just 4 hits apiece for both of these teams so far. Kyle Gibson actually has gone through 8 innings, 97 pitches. Not sure if they're going to bring him back out for the ninth. 8 innings pitch, 6 strikeouts, 4 hits. So currently a scoreless game there. And then quick update here. Let's get a race update in NASCAR. That is at Richmond Motor Speedway. Brad Keselowski leading the race currently, 36 to go in stage two, about midway through. Also IndyCar making their season debut down in Alabama, Barber Motorsports Park. Alex Palou, Will Power, Scott Dixon, your top three.
The New York Mets out to a 2-0 lead over the Colorado Rockies. And this is a rarity, right, Wes? The seventh inning, top of the seventh inning,
right,
at Coors Field, 2-0.
I would have thought this could have been a decent spot for the over today because it did get bet from 10 up to 11, but Marcus Stroman and Antonio Senzatella not cooperating, or rather the batters not cooperating. Marcus Stroman threw 6 innings in Colorado, only 58 pitches.
Wow.
6 innings pitch, 1 hit, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. So Stroman, more along the lines at this stage of his career, is a pitch to contact guy, not really striking a lot of guys out, but Colorado not getting very many hits either. Just 1 hit for the Rockies as we are now in the top of the seventh, 2-0 Mets, as Stuart Sink does bogey on number 12. So now a 4-shot lead with 6 holes to play down here in Harbortown.
Yeah, we'll update that leaderboard here in just a moment as we get through the baseball. Trevor Bauer has allowed a couple of base runners for the San Diego Padres in the bottom of the second. second inning. Manny Machado continues his dominance over Trevor Bauer as he gets a base hit, but he is erased. I believe it was a ground out of fielder's choice. So Machado is now off the base pass, but they do have another runner on in San Diego. One on at first base with two outs as Bauer has run into a little bit of a jam here, but LA out in front currently of San Diego 2-0. The runner is off and he is going, and that will be a strikeout and the third out for the Trevor Bauer led Los Angeles Dodgers as they move now to the top of the third inning with a 2-0 lead over the San Diego Padres, trying to pull off the road sweep at Petco. Also, the Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners West tied at one apiece early in this one, the top of the second inning, and all tied at one. Astros currently batting, and this was a total of 9, and you and I were both kind of leaning towards the under. Your in-game total now at BetMGM up to 10.5.
Yeah, these are two pitchers that have struggled so far this season. It is top of the second, one run in already for Houston. Runner on second, just one out. It is Odorizzi and Margavicious. Thought maybe you'd get a little positive reaction or regression today as watching the golf coverage and seeing Lisa Sink wearing the exact same hat it looked like that you were wearing here for long shots, the hat you picked up when you played at Harbortown, that I believe that tartan plaid hat there. So Stuart Sink trying to get his third jacket in this very event. 4-shot lead, 6-play.
Yeah, absolutely. She's trying to buy the hat to match her husband's jacket.
I just happened to notice that. I was like, wait a minute.
I've seen that hat before.
Yes.
To update the leaderboard there at the RBC Heritage, Stuart Sink trying to cruise to his third victory at Harbortown, but just had a bump in the road there. As you mentioned, Wes, he did bogey the 11th hole. So now through 12 holes, he is even par on his round. He still has a 4-shot advantage over Harold Varner and Emiliano Grillo, who are at 14 under par for the tournament. Maverick McNealy is currently playing the 18th hole. He is 5 shots back at 13 under. And my guy, Corey Connors, also at 13 under par. He's only got 3 holes left. I mean, obviously, best case scenario for Corey Connors here is about 16 under par. Mm-hmm. That still may not get it done. And even for Varner and Grillo, Grillo's got 5 holes left. I mean, Stuart Sink is really going to probably have to give up 2 or 3 more shots to lose this thing.
Yeah, you would think you've got to get to 16. And you've had, I just made this comment on Twitter, at Wes Reynolds 1, by the way, if you want to follow. And Stuart Sink, of course, he's losing some shots on the greens today, -1.8. Emiliano Grillo's lost 2 strokes gain putting today. Colin Morikawa, a little less than 2 strokes in his own right. Harold Varner's actually gained on the greens, a guy that, you know, misses his fair share of putts, and we've commented on that. Mav McNealy is the one really gaining on the green, is going to have to birdie 18 to see if he can post 14 under, but... you know, some shaky putters on that leaderboard haven't really made Stuart Sink sweat as of yet.
Yeah, no, it really is crazy. The lack of putters on the leaderboard, they're absolute ball strikers in Harold Varner, Emiliano Grillo,
Corey Connors.
These guys typically are not great putters. You got to go down to Matt Fitzpatrick. And of course, you mentioned Maverick McNealy to really find the hot putters on that leaderboard. The basketball game still at the break, and now they have just returned. And the Brooklyn Nets hot out of the halftime there in South Beach. They now lead Miami. They went into halftime trailing by 4 points. What did you say the halftime line was again?
It was -2 for Brooklyn. It was 60-64 at the half, and now the first 8 points scored by the Nets.
Yeah, 68-64 in favor of the Brooklyn Nets right now. Still 10 minutes left to go in the third period there, and Brooklyn has moved to a 2.5-point favorite in the live line here at BetMGM, your total at 234.5. No changes here on the ice. The first intermission underway in Anaheim, where the Golden Knights are leading the Ducks 2-1. The Buffalo Sabres now back in action in the final period there, 18.5 minutes left in the third period in Buffalo, where they lead the Pittsburgh Penguins 2-0. And still in the second intermission in New Jersey, where the New York Rangers lead the New Jersey Devils 3-1.
2-run shot for Dan Vogelbach here in the bottom of the seventh at Miller Park. We are all tied at 5 between the Pirates and the Brew Crew.
Boy, that seemed like that game was was tied at 3 apiece forever. The Pirates broke the tie, and now we're tied again. We may be headed for extra baseball here in Miller Park in Milwaukee. 5 apiece between the Pirates and the Brew Crew. That's another hour in the books here inside the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Final hour coming up here from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa on VSiN.